but you know.
You recall I asked you to do some homework. It was not a statement of hope, nor a statement of faith, but I probably offered it as some kind of charitable gesture on your part to take a look at Shimon Esrei. But since you're busy with other things, I'll do your homework for you now. I had asked you last time to take a look through the 19 brachos of Shimon Esrei. Shimon Esrei meaning literally 18. Nonetheless, we know we have that 19th bracha, and we have preserved Shimon Esrei brachos as the original title, even though, practically speaking, the 18 don't exist anymore. And for a long time to come, probably will never be restored to the 18. I asked you to try to see one thread, one idea between all of the brachos that is shared by all of the brachos, save for one. Now, if you'll open up your sitter at this point, you'll see that there is truly one overpowering theme. Whether praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether asking him for something, or thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the theme is Chesed. We run through nothing more than synonyms and phrases of Chesed. I want to demonstrate that as a highlight, so we're gonna run. Let's take page 81 where Shimon Esrei begins. The first bracha obviously begins Baruch Atah Hashem, the first of 18. And whether you understand it or you don't understand it, it's irrelevant. But if you go down to the third line of the bracha, you have on that third line twice the word chesed mentioned. Gomel chasadim tovim, he will grant always chesed that is good for you. That obviously means to recall what we spoke about, that a no is always in order. Because sometimes a little too much of something is probably as bad as anything else. On the same line, at least in our text, Vizocher chasdei avos, he remembers the chesed, he will constantly remember the chesed that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did for him. Were it not for these three, then God knows what would have been. We would have been a world of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But these three were his first ambassadors. The chesed that was done unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu by these three, he will constantly remember and pay back. The next line. Clear that the bracha is marked with chesed? No question about it. On page 83, the second bracha begins the fourth line of the page, Atah Gibor Le'olam Hashem. And again, I have to repeat that which we said before. We speak of a Gibor, we speak of might in human terms, we think of Shimshon HaGibor, we think of someone with a closed fist, we think of someone who will go ahead and punch you out, because that is the one with guts and that is the one with strength. Your Givura HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two lines later, is Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. You sustain all of life with your loving kindness. And the rest of the bracha does nothing else but to give you synonyms and phraseology that indicates chesed, the loving kindness, the giving nature, the nurturing nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second bracha. The third bracha of the 18 begins on page 85. Page 85, the fifth line. Atah Kadosh, you are holy. The word holy, once and for all, we've got to understand. It means something unique and special. Then we go ahead and say, Shimcha Kadosh. Your name is holy. Now, I don't want you flying off your seats But I'll have to introduce you to a little Kabbalah, so strap yourself in. You're not going to turn angelic with the little Kabbalah that I'll give you. But strap yourself in. Shimcha Kadosh, every one of God's names, whether there are 7 or 10, some count 7 synonyms to God, some count 10, it doesn't matter. Everyone has a mystical inner meaning. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Ado and Noi, when you say that, you are referring to God in the aspect of Chesed. Now there are other aspects also, and they're dilutions, they're mixtures of Chesed and other things and so on. The quality of Chesed, it means giving. Actually, the technical term is of Yudke Vovke is Rachamim, is mercy. Shimcha Kadosh, your name is unique, your name is holy. Which name? The name of Chesed and Rachamim. Whenever you say the word Adol and Noi, you are talking to a nurturing, Chesed-giving God. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to go ahead and in Shir HaSayom, in the song at the sea, when he crosses the sea, has to say, Hashem, you are nurturing and giving, even though at this point you are Ish Milchama, you appear like a general, like a five-star general, having completely decimated the Egyptians and allowed us, however, the Hashem quality, the Chesed, to have crossed the sea and be safe now. Now that's 3 brachos so far. Anyone ready to challenge the theme of Chesed? You're quiet over there, right? Okay, good. 4th bracha. 4th bracha begins with the words Atah Chonein La'adam Das. You have it? Atah Chonein comes from the word Chain. Chain, gracefulness. And Chonein, the repetition of the noon, means to bestow, because I find grace in your favor. Or grace in your eyes. I find favor in your eyes. Atah Chonein, you favor us, La'adam, as people, with Das, with sense. Once you extend a favor to someone, what is it? Is it not an act of Chesed? 4 brachos, unmistakably. 5th one begins 2 lines later. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, help us return to your Torah. Hashiveinu, help us return. Tell me, when someone goes into the mud, when someone gets stuck in a ditch, what do you have to do to get that someone out, to assist that person coming out, if not extending a hand, throwing a lifeline, throwing a rope, and pulling him out? The mere extension of one's hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do us a favor, we derailed occasionally. Well, we're human, we're only human, what do you want from us? Hashiveinu, you help us come back. V'korveinu malkeinu la'avodasecha, do us a favor, bring us a little closer, give us a front seat, take us by the hand and give us a front seat in this arena called Torah. Chesed, outstretching hand, no question about it. We're down to 5, now we're up to 6. Slach lanu avinu kichatanu, slicha. We'll have to talk about this in great length, to forgive. Forgive us because we have chatanu. I mean, it's sure sin, but the word chet, you have to think of in totally different terms than Christian terminology of sin. Okay? You all have a tafkid, you have a purpose in life. So do I. There isn't a human being who doesn't want to hit the bullseye in our purpose. Doesn't want to really do well. Doesn't matter what you are and who you are and what your station in life is and what your vocation in life is. You have a purpose and you want to do it well. Even if that purpose is only to cook eggs, because you're behind the counter and you make the 20,000 scrambled eggs a day. You want to do it well. Sometimes you miss the mark. So you shoot your arrow, but it doesn't hit the bullseye, it falls short. That is what the word chet means. Everyone wants to, by nature, hit the bullseye, and sometimes this action, this day, this intent, you know, we took sighting of where we're going to hit and where we're going to shoot, but the arrow fell short. The bullet hit not the red little bullseye in the middle, but it hit one of the outer rings. That is what is chet. We started this way, but we were deflected. As a kid, I deal with kids, so I have to think occasionally in childish terms, but it was only yesterday. I remember we used to go out on the sidewalk of Flatbush. They used to take a penny and put it in the crack of the sidewalk, where the masons scored the sidewalk. And every 3-4 feet you had another scoring. So one would stand on one crack, and you put the penny on the middle crack, and your opponent stood on the third crack. And you took a ball and you hit the penny. And sometimes you took the Spalding ball and you hit the crack, but you knew that it was supposed to bounce straight. And for no apparent reason, it bounces out into the gutter. And you go running onto the street to get it. That's the same thing. If you had to describe that game, or that action of deflecting off to the side unexpectedly, unwantedly, you would use the shorish of chet. Chet tet aleph. It just didn't hit the mark. Slach lanu, so please forgive us, ki chatanu. We missed. But the chesed is even more apparent when you see the next phrase, mechal lanu malkeinu ki fashanu. There is a difference between slicha and mechila. Slicha, we're standing in a train, and the train lurches back, and I lose my balance because I'm not holding on, and my heel zetzes right into your toes. Okay? And you're in pain. So what do, Hannah? I turn to you and I ask you, please forgive me. Does it do anything for the pain? I'm afraid not. You are ready to scream to kingdom come because it hurts. Mechila is a different story. I owe you $1,000, and you come to me and you say, I am mochel $1,000. Ich bin mochel, as we say in Yiddish. What have you done to the $1,000? Totally erased it and wiped it out. You have no connection with me, and I have no connection with you. It doesn't exist. Don't tell me that you gave me the $1,000 and I had this obligation to pay it. It doesn't exist anymore. You came to me and you said the $1,000 doesn't exist. The juridical term, the halachic term that we use is mechila. Mechal lanu malkeinu kifashanu. There are times when you will sin keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against God. So it's like you take a punch at him. Mechila means you didn't even touch me to begin with. It doesn't exist. Wipe it out. Can that be done by din, by judgment, by mishpat? Or can that only be done by chesed, by kindness, and an outstretched giving hand? Has to be the theme of chesed. No two ways about it. What bracha are we up to? Number 7?
I'm a little confused.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chatanu and Fashanu, isn't there a
difference? Yeah, there's a difference, no question about it.
Doesn't that account for why Zawa, Mechila, and Salifa, isn't there any connection?
But you just asked me at this point, you want me now to give you one of my Shabbos Shuva drushes where we talk about Chet, Pesha, and Ovon, right? Chotonu, Poshanu, Ovinu. All the al-chaits over there, plus what we sing in the middle of the al-chaits. V'al kulom elokai slichos, slach lonu, mechal lonu, kaper lonu. Correct? You want to push me to that at this point, so I'm going to resist it, because if we continue... if we continue on, then without question, I promise it, we'll get into a machzer season soon. I mean, if it's Pesach now, how far is it to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? I mean, that's it.
Let's make it some flurry.
You are witness, right? Today I already bugged you because my mind is in Shavuos, right? Today I called the lady over here to bring something home from the office I need for Shavuos night. Okay, so I finished eating Homan Tashin already. I have already finished the Albacosis. I've had my fill of matzahs. I'm already in Shavuos. So if you're in Shavuos already, how far can it be? All right?
So what is the difference then between Chulipa and Chulipa?
Good. You're pushing me, right?
Then let I'm not pushing. I'm just going to speak when you ask.
If you want to do it, we'll do it next time. But I will tell you clearly.
Because you first started talking about missing the mark, okay. And then you said wiping
fine.
Out, and I just don't see the
okay.
connection.
Slicha implies that we did something incorrectly. Okay? The boss can hold you accountable for it. And you say, I'm sorry. It in no way changes the inadequacy of the act. Mechila, as I just had said, Mechila, there is a relationship between the two of us, whether it is employee-employer or superior authority figure and servant and follower. And I do something, and the boss says, forget about it, wipe it off, it never existed. Kapara is the concept that when we do fall short, whether it is purposefully, willfully, mazid, or shogeg, unintentionally, the fact of the matter is that deep down there has to be a black mark, a scab that is left. A scar has to form as a result of this no-no. Correct? Kapara completely does cosmetic surgery on the scar and removes it so that it never again is to be seen. It is like a stain in the fabric of an neshama, and the fabric has to be cleaned. That is kapara. All right? Now, if you're satisfied, okay. But there's 2 hours more to speak of. Baruch Hashem. Now, chait and pesha you only have here too. Chait is b'shogeg, that is unwittingly, and pesha is b'mezid. Right? There's another one. There's ovon in the middle. Chait ovon and pesha. Ovon is b'mezid. You know what you're doing, but pesha is I know what I'm doing and I want to kick dirt in your face. I want to let you know that I'm boss now. Okay. There's a difference over there. I don't know if I myself don't know of any Jew today that wants to kick dirt in God's face. Go back to pre-World War II days in New York City. We used to have the Bund. One of the socialist groups, Yiddishist socialist groups, that came over from Europe, Russia, and formed here after World War I, in that period of immigration, where at that time, in the 1920s and the 1930s here in America, Union Square was uptown. It was like the Riverdale of Manhattan. After that, you went up Temple Emanuel Way, the east side, but then you were reformed. And from there you went to Harlem, and then you were way off, way off the needle. But Union Square was a frum area. The only thing is, it was the upper class of the Lower East Side. And you didn't live on Grand Street and on Orchard Street and on Delancey Street. You went to up further, Avenue A and 12th Street, Avenue B and 13th Street. Joe Starshevsky moved from there to New Jersey. Okay? Union Square was a rallying point for all social activists. Kol Nidre. We used to be coming out of shul, and the Bund would organize a Yom Kippur dance in Union Square so that they had to wear their coats. But the band, the orchestra, played live music in Union Square from 6 o'clock Kol Nidre until 9:30 when they finished, And they played loudest when the Jews left after Kol Nidrei. Okay? That is, the point is to show you that you Jews are a bunch of good-for-nothing, anachronistic idiots.
They were Jewish too.
So why did they spoke Yiddish? And smoking they smoked. They spoke a better Yiddish than any and all of us put together. That's Pesha. That's kicking dirt into someone, into someone's face. All right, it was intended for the Jews who were non-Bundists, but it was ultimately this new declaration of communist society that religion has got to be wiped out, and that's where they learned it. They learned it with the Russian Revolution in the World War I, 1917, 1918. By the 20s and the 30s, these reactionaries who already were here had to go ahead and kick sand in someone's face. It's probably in the streets. Okay, then Union Square also had dance halls. Upstairs, you know, you had your stores downstairs, and upstairs you had your big meeting halls and your dance halls.
Okay? Still around there.
Yeah, right. Certainly, till this day they have their meeting halls.
Yeah, you have
tea still
around.
That's right.
Creeping up,
up. And they, if it got too cold, so they went into the dance halls. But when they went out into the streets, there's a bandstand over there. There's a rotunda where concerts were held, like we hold in Central Park today, and if it wasn't too cold, that's where they were dancing. I didn't do it. Somewhat. The next bracha, Re'eino v'anyenu, towards the bottom of the page, is all of chesed, is all of racham. I mean, it's a request, look at our affliction. V'riva rivenu, come to our side and champion our cause. U'ge'aleinu mehera redeema speedily. Redemption is an act of chesed. No two ways about it. Now that's bracha number 4, 5, 6, 7, right? 7 down, I still have no challenges. Because it should be as clear as day that we are talking about a theme of chesed. The whole Shmoneh Esrei is chesed. Just to take a couple of more, 87. Refa'inu Hashem b'nei Rafei, please heal us. My back hurts already too much. Come on, an act of chesed, God. Stop breaking my back. Now, how much can I lay in bed? How much can I do exercises already? Let's go. Do me a favor, be the rightful judge and heal me, the right doctor, and heal me already. Kikel, the end of the bracha, Kikel Melech Rofei Ne'emon, the Rachamon Oto. Rachamim, right? Chesed and Rachamim. There's a slight difference over there. I'll give it to you. Don't worry. I'll give you the exact difference between Chesed and Rachamim. The next bracha, what number is that? We're up to 9 now, huh? Okay, keep the count. Barech aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es Hashanah Azos. The word bracha means an act of chesed, an act of giving, because the one who can give a bracha has in his power or her power, in his storehouse, what to give. Give us a bracha of this year that bread shouldn't go up 200%. And milk shouldn't go up 100% and so on and so forth. The reason that I use those terms is because if you say this bracha in Eretz Yisrael as a native of Eretz Yisrael, you'll say it entirely different than when you say it here. Because the bracha was originally constituted for the agricultural needs of Eretz Yisrael, for the food needs of Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, says the Vilna Gaon, Barech aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es Hashana Azos, bless this year, Ves Kol Mineis Flasala Tova, and all of its bounty. And then continue on the break, the same bracha, and give us bracha al Pnei HaAdama, says the Vilna Gaon, that the next two words should be a little different than what we have here. Ves Sabeinu Mituva. Satisfy us not from your goodness, but from her goodness. You know who the her is? Motherland of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and he changes it. He doesn't say Sabe'enu mituvecha, which is an alternative reading and certainly is acceptable. Because the beginning of the bracha is Borech Aleinu, is addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking him for his bounty. But says the Vilna Gaon that this is the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shalom, make sure that there is enough rain, and it shouldn't come too early and it shouldn't come too late, because if you know Israel, if the rain is too early or too late by a couple of days, it can destroy the whole crop.
It seems like it did so
before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how? We only get a taste, a smattering of what's going on with this living on the brink of disaster, asking constantly for the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is with the orange crop, the citrus crop, when the freeze comes through. So we're in trouble. This year, we get bombed out from Texas, the oranges that we normally get from Texas. So the little academy had no oranges to sell this year because it wiped it out. It's the closest that we have. But we city, what are we, Hicks or city slickers? I don't know which one. We city folk don't live with these concepts. You know, so there's another couple of pennies here, another couple of pennies there. But if you live in an agricultural society where a day or two, or the change, the drastic change of weather overnight can wipe you out, then you know what it means to ask for a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you never picked up a siddur and even if you're not Jewish. The farmer is a man of faith, and there are no two ways about it. He is the one who, by every moment of the day, will somehow reach out and ask for chesed, for the loving kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go on. That's number 10, right?
Shiloh Siddur has said something too, but not
in the Shiloh Siddur, it says it that way. Sure. Okay. And it's acceptable. This is an acceptable change. Some say the Sabenu Mituvah, and some say v'sabenu mituvecha. You know, my guru is the Vilna Gaon, so I go his text. But you've got to understand.
The Song Festival has, we have one of their records, and they have a song for it, and they say v'sabenu
mituvecha. That's right. All of Kabbalah, all the Kabbalists had, and the Vilna Gaon was probably one of the greatest mekubalim of his days. All of them followed the Kabbalistic nusach. The Ari also, and Nusach Sfarad also. But Nusach Sfarad was primarily Eretz Yisrael. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. Next, another act of chesed. Tika v'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. Sound the great shofar l'cheruseinu for this, this prime act of chesed, the supreme gesture, cherus, of freeing us. All right? Just like you did when? In Yitzias Mitzrayim. Was there any greater chesed that a nation could have? V'saneis the kabeitz goli yosenu, and raise the flag so that we can come around, rally around in throughout the diaspora, and gather us all from the four corners of the earth. I'm not without conditions. Got to make sure first that I'm able to sell my house and I should make a hefty profit. And I should be able to sell all my furniture in it and go and buy new stuff. And when we get there, so I mean, you know, but that's your act of chesed. If we're asking for chesed, we expect chesed. There are no two ways about it. Next bracha. Hashiva shofteinu kavarishana. Turn back the hands of times to the good old days when we knew that there was justice and righteousness and society was judged properly. In other words, we had the reins over society. That would be the best gift that we had if we could only have the good old days. You know, give me those good old days. The Yoatzeinu Kivat Techila, place amongst us a couple of counselors who, when we have a doubt and we don't know how to turn and where to turn, can tell us. We should have a good Eitzer. You know, when you give an Eitzer to someone, when you give a proper bit of advice to someone, it is the supreme chesed that you can do for a human being. What is it called? You know? Gemilus Chasadim. That's Gemilus Chasadim. Write a check and it's called Stoker. There is a higher level, and that's Gemilus Chasadim. You don't know where to turn. There's trouble. You're confounded. You're confused. You don't know. Wie gefindt man an Eitzel? Where do you find someone to tell you what to do? That is the supreme act of chesed. Give us our counselors, those who were able to give us an etzah, who saw the situation objectively, and then went ahead and said, look, do this, and I think everything will be all right. Okay? Supreme act of chesed. That's my fault? That's my fault. That's why you're sitting here, thank God. But that's it.
I appreciate.
Ray, what I'm saying to you, listen to me. What I'm saying to you is after some 30 years of fixing on Siddur and Machzor, what goes through my head? Partially, you know, simple. I'm a simple Jew. What goes through my head after having learned a wall full of Svarim about davening? Simple. You don't think this is a very powerful bracha for me. How many people come to me and ask me for etzes, but what they don't know is Yichol Mishkan etzes. They wanted to go, let him go to a big rabbi. Mishkan big rabbi, a little rabbi. And Chas v'Shalom, you give the wrong etzes that will completely deflect them off of the track, derail them for the rest of their lives, or 10 years, or 1 year, God forbid. Okay, I'm sitting. This past Sunday, I'm sitting with my Hillel, and he wants to get a different job, and a call comes in to the director of the camp where 21 years ago, before Shmuel was born, I was its the head counselor. And now he already sees Hillel, who was a camper by him also, and a call comes in, someone in his family needs the right doctor. The mother is not responding, etc., etc., etc. Look at me. I said, tell me the guy's name. And he tell me the name. And I tell him, he is chief of internal medicine at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. And usually Mount Sinai doesn't talk to Columbia Presbyterian, and he is chief over there of Mount Sinai of another division also. It's unprecedented. Can you imagine a professor at Harvard and at Yale at the same time, v'mishloksach, they kill themselves already for 200 years? Mustami, he must be good. I had to give an etzer. Who am I to give such an etzer? You know what happened? You saw on their faces a sudden calm, as if to say, we got the best. Sure. That was on my shoulders. I got a week back, and I got very, very soft shoulders. That's why we beg for the chesed of those who are supreme in their ability to give counseling. And why? Because the next words, so that if we could really have the good advice, we will be able to remove sorrow and pain and sighing from us, you know, just be able to relieve ourselves in the knowledge that we got the best advice. What number is it, Kaya? Where are we? Number what? Okay. I think that was number 12. Okay, I think we're coming to number 13 now. All right? But I don't have, right now, you know, I don't mind you challenging me. But up until now, again, I say, there are no challenges. It is so unmistakable. It is so calculated and premeditated that every single bracha is the theme of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lam al shinim. To all those who will slander us, al tihi sikva. Let them rot without any hope. I call your attention right now to the fact that the bracha begins with a vav. And furthermore, the slanderers, I'll explain why later. Bechol harisha, and let all wickedness, all evil, kerega toveid, somehow miraculously be erased in a minute. V'chol ha'yivecha, God, all of your enemies, mehera yikoresu, may they be speedily cut down. V'hazedim, those who are arrogant in your face, mehera te'aker, uproot them, tishaber, break them to bits, timager, crush them, pulverize them, put them in a blender and knock the living daylights out of them, v'sachnia, and bring them down, humble them on their knees, bimhei rabbi, amenu, speedily in our days, ishen genu. Baruch Atah Hashem, because you are the source of everything, my eternal master, Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the source of everything, my eternal master, Shover Oyevim, and that's why you are able to go ahead and break our enemies' backs, Umachnia Zedim, and to humble anyone who is arrogant against you and us. All chesed, right? All chesed. There isn't a word there that isn't chesed, huh? Wrong.
Every word is bad.
The only one that
hasn't got. There isn't a letter of chesed.
Everybody else for breaking the evil.
That's wonderful. That is no question correct. Absolutely no question correct. When you destroy bad, it is bestowing good upon everyone else. There's no question. You've had the final word on it, Chaim. That's it. There's only one problem. You know what the problem is? This. Because you have to admit to me that when you look at the terminology after the first 12 brachos, you see a stark difference. You see such a radical departure. And that's why I took you through 12 brachos. I'm not going to take you through the rest, because that hopefully you may now want to do at your spare time, and look from Al HaTzadikim all the way down, and you will be able to very easily, with the methodology that I use, you will be able to very easily pick up the chesed and all the rest of the brachos. No sweat. But here's where we stop. Tonight, this is the concept that I want to see. The additional bracha. Yes. No question about it.
Because it's so radically different from...
That's what I want you to feel. You've got to have a moment, look at it, and let it sink in. That the terminology of the bracha, even though ultimately, it abounds in chesed, that we should be able to get rid of all of our enemies. Wait, what a chesed it would be. What a stone off our historical hearts. But there's no question in the world that this has to smack you in the face like a swinging door that you didn't see coming at you. You didn't expect it. Because there is nothing but din, the opposite of chesed, law. And look at those words, gewaldishrim. Sounds like, it sounds like some Bobby who was really at her best. The hazedim mehera sa'akir yugz. Your feet shouldn't be able to. Correct? That's what it means. Right? This is right?
And it sounds like our old neighbor.
No! Usimager! That's right! Simager! You know what Simager means? Do you remember what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he came down to the Egel Azov, that which we read 2 weeks ago? Do you remember what he did to the Egel Azov? Vayitchono so dak adasha doklofo. He takes this 24 carat gold figure, this priceless piece of culture, of civilization, that today probably would have had a tag of, I don't know, $10 million more? Priceless. More than the Mona Lisa could have ever been. And he takes it until it becomes gold dust and floats it down the drain. Can you... That is Timager. A lot of chesed, huh? $10 billion worth of that's what we want. This achnia, you've got to look at someone who has fallen to his knees and can't get up and is looking at you, please don't kill me. You're holding the sword over at his neck, at his throat. And he's down on his knees and he's beat. Chesed, huh? The incredible terminology over here. Any one of these words would have been enough to show you the stark difference and the departure. And no. Zaker, smager, shaber, v'sachnia. And again, look at the word, b'mheirot yomenu. I want to be able to see it, so I can pant and, I should have nachas from this. Absolutely incredible.
Came and look what we did, and we all laughed and look, we killed him.
Isn't that right? Did you ever figure why you have one day in the year where you're allowed to get drunk? Probably to be able to cloud out and to block out this radical departure from the essential nature of a Jew, that he is all chesed. That he is all chesed. And one day when he has to imitate goyim, so he's allowed to go ahead and drink to help him overcome that pain, ad lo yada, until he himself cannot distinguish whether he is saying Baruch Mordechai, he is following the Jewish way, or Arur Haman, or he's playing the game like a Haman. Never thought of it, huh? But this is not going to give me license to go around drunk 360 or 350 some odd days out of the year. It's not going to be.
When the language started to get this way, you know, that our enemies should be destroyed, or I just started to think of Jesse Jackson and his being destroying himself.
Okay.
Really.
Now, there is every justification for this bracha to be here. Now I will tell you, now I've got to come to history. There's no way to understand this radical departure until we go back to history and once again understand clearly what's going on here. The entire Shemoneh Esrei was fashioned somewhere between the times of 458 before the Common Era, which is when Ezra came back from Chutz La'aretz, from Bavel, and the environs, when he came back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. He constituted a group of some 120, not at the same time, but he started a group called the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, these giants of the great assembly. Gemara tells us that there were 120 members of the great assembly. There were some Nevi'im among them, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi, who are mentioned in Tanakh. And they wrote a Shemoneh Esrei, but they did not write the 19th Bracha. 458 before the Common Era, and then the Beis HaMikdash lasted a couple of centuries. And in the year 70, that was 1,913 years ago, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The year 70. 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, our dear friend Yehoshua Berab Yosef was crucified. Yehoshua Berab Yosef. You know who he is?
Yes, we know.
His brother called him Yoshke. Okay? But if he needed an aliyah in Yerushalayim or elsewhere, they would call him Ya'amod Rav Yeshua Rav Yosef. If he was sick, so they made him a Mishaberach. Yehoshua ben Miriam, Nerfuah Shleima. Okay? Simple. But he was Jewish. It's too much. 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he started with his Mishagasim. A charismatic leader, a Jew, because if he wasn't a Jew, they wouldn't have listened to him.
Would you give him an aliyah?
Don't ask me those questions. Okay? But record indicates that he studied with the Tana of Rabban Gamliel the first. Would Rabban Gamliel have given him an aliyah? Record indicates that he did learn there. And he sat and he learned Torah Sheba'al Peh along in the same Beis Medrash as later Rabbi Akiva. Years later, Rabbi Akiva. Okay? What are you? The new rabbi, you answer it now. Would you give him an aliyah in your shul? If he learned, if he sat and he learned. But a charismatic leader and a nut. A deviant from the norm. And he had his to do with the Sanhedrin. If he were only one, then we wouldn't have any troubles. There were others like him, but he was so successful. To the extent that we find in history a situation where the Sanhedrin, the core of religious authority, lost control, and there were all kinds of pilot projects, sects, S-E-C-T-S, springing up all around. And everyone had his own little guru.
The Pharisees, the Essenes.
Well, that was the whole thing. The Essenes, the Essenes were a sect off to the side. The Prushim maintained that they were right. There were others, Siddukim, who maintained that their interpretation was correct. And here is this itinerant preacher called Yeshu, who is going from place to place, an incredible tongue, a brilliant mind to be able to see what the discontents and the ills of the days are, and comes and taunts the authorities. And he has followers. There were a lot of Jews for Jesus. A lot! That's when it was born! Okay, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash occurs, and there are more Jews for Jesus constantly growing. This, even though he's gone, he was killed 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So you can see when there is political and social and religious upheaval, all things go crazy. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed is probably the biggest clap in the world. So people start to think, oy vey, maybe if we did listen to him. Maybe this is the punishment that 40 years ago when he was crucified, if we had listened to him, maybe he would have been the Mashiach. Okay, you grab at straws in such difficult terms. I mean, this was a Holocaust. And when you have a Holocaust in front of you, in the year 70, and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash occurs, anything goes. By the year 90, and that's round figures, the Beis Hamikdash is already destroyed, Yerushalayim is gone, the Sanhedrin, which was the seat of Torah, the hub, the center of gravity of Torah, is completely decimated, and the action shifts to Yavne, to the southwest. 20 years later, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, about 90, Rabban Gamliel Hasheni II, there was an earlier Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel Hasheni is the head of the Sanhedrin. And so this is about the year 90, giving Yeshu, what, about 70 or so years to be able to function. You know what Jews can create for themselves in 70, 75 years? Okay? An incredible, incredible situation. Just to give you an example of what can happen in 75 years by Jews. 75 years ago, World War I. Before World War I, 95% of the Jewish community lived a life of Frumkeit. There were some cynics, there were some skeptics, there was but 75 years ago in Russia and Poland, 95 were Frum, 95% out of every 100. You didn't have to ever go to work on Shabbos because no one dared. Came World War I in 75 years, and the whole situation has changed. 95% of the Jews have gone down the road of assimilation, and 5 are holding on. Now, if you question me on those figures, then we'll talk in a different setting and in another forum, and I'll show you that I'm correct. But in 75 years from the time that he functioned in the hills of Galilee and in the streets of Yerushalayim, Jesus, until the times of La'avdil Rabban Gamliel Hasheni, 90, in the years 90, 91, 92, about then, do you know what had happened? This wasn't just a little sect, min mem yud nun, a little sect off to the side. This was the great Grand Canyon, the great schism, the great split between the main core of Yiddishkeit and the sect. You were a true Jew, but you were for Jesus. You came into shul, and you started to say certain things. That was strange. And you were a chazan, so you had to lead everyone because we didn't have printed siddurim yet. Hashiva shavteinu kvarishana, restore our judges as in the past. V'yoatzeinu, and our advisors, kibatchilo, like we used to have. And give us the reemergence, the reappearance of the greatest advisor, the greatest judge. Show us again that he is amongst us. What's his name? Yeshu. Mogim anachnu loch, we thank you, dear God. But that isn't enough to thank you. We have another modim. Modim, two modims. We have to thank you. And thank you for having given us your kindness and your grace. For in your torture and pain on the cross, we have life. That is our nuclear energy. That's why we're living. Our life is in your hands, dear son. Yeah, you too, Father. In your hands. Ha'omer modim modim, I'm quoting the Gemara that was written at that time. Ha'omer, it's Mishnah, because the Gemara wasn't written then, it was Mishnah. Ram Gamliel was a Tana. It's one who says, modim anachnu lach, modim anachnu lach, mishatkim also, you shut him up. You know why? Because you've got yourself a chazan who is davening to shtei rishuyos, to two. That one, the Father, and at the same time the Son. It was so bad that Rabbi Gamliel convened the Sanhedrin one day and walks into the Beis Medrash and says as follows, it's Gemara in Brachos and Gemara in Megillah, if you want to see the original, I'll show it to you afterwards. Klum yesh adam, isn't there a person, hayodeya letaken birchas atstukim, isn't there a person who can go ahead and formulate the proper words for birchas atstukim, for the bracha, for these minim, for these sectarians? How can we daily experience davening, and at this point, with this Holocaust, with this mess on our hands, not pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of this cancer? Not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his supreme chesed to completely destroy this incredible cancer that we have in our own midst. Jews who are for this Jesus. No one volunteered. Of all those who were sitting in, probably there must have been hundreds. Whereupon one person finally agreed. His name was Shmuel HaKotam. Shmuel the humble. Now, Koton obviously means small, but I have no way of knowing how tall he was. And there is no record in Gemara whatsoever of indicating that he was a short man in relationship to all the others. There is, however, an ironclad statement that indicates the personality of Shmuel HaKotam, probably the most humble human being in the world. It's in Pirkei Avos. Shmuel HaKotam Omer, Shmuel HaKotam used to constantly say, "Binefol oyivcha al tismach." When your enemy falls, don't be happy. You hear? Shmuel HaKotam never said that. By that I mean Shmuel HaKotam never composed that. You know who the composer of that was? Huh? It's a Mishle. Shlomo HaMelech. Shmuel HaKotam Omer, Shmuel HaKotam used to say, "Binfol oyivcho," when your enemy falls, don't rejoice. That was his life's motto. To the extent that you never were able to discern whether he was the author or Shlomo HaMelech was the author. Every single time that you'd speak to this man, this was his beacon light that guided him throughout all of his relationships in life. Binefol ayivcha al tismach. He was the most humble of human beings, the most self-effacing of human beings. He was the example of supreme chesed in anything and everything that this man did. He was the master of chesed in his life. And therefore he asks for the opportunity, or takes upon himself the responsibility, of going ahead to write the bracha. That's why we have to say chaya like you. No one else but the champion, the number one champion of his times, of Chesed, which he demonstrated in every relationship that he had, with anyone and everyone. People obviously blew his fuses, and people obviously got him angry, and people obviously rubbed him the wrong way, and life was not a bowl of cherries, nor a bouquet of roses, and he would go his way. Ani b'tumi elech, I go my way. Binfol ayivcha al tismach. There are those who are truly out to do you in. But that's not for you to go and start making a kiddush over. It's a tragedy that it happened. Now, this is not original to him, because you know Pesach time, the Medrash, when the Egyptians drowned in Yam Suf. So the Malachim wanted to start singing and get up and dancing. And you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ma'aseh Yodai Tovim Bayom, my handiwork, my human beings are drowning, and they are gasping for breath now. V'atem Omrim Le'Shira, and you are coming here to home to make a whole Simchas Torah? What, are you kidding? And that's why we don't complete the Hallel on most of Pesach. Seder night we complete the Hallel. First 2 days we complete the Hallel. The rest of Pesach we don't. B'nefola Yivcha Al Tismach, as ridiculous as it is, you killed my children. You decimated my grandchildren. You killed my husbands and my wives and everything. You were ready to wipe us out entirely. 210 years, 86 out of which was concentration camp. Was Holocaust. Can't. It's an incredible kind of attitude. But the champion of Chesed takes upon himself to write the bracha. The Gemara continues, interestingly. Yeah. Hold on, I didn't finish it. An interesting thing happens. The Gemara continues. A year or so later, Shmuel HaKotan had an opportunity to be the chazan. A chazan in a day and an age when there were no printed siddurim, and you had to daven by heart. What if you didn't know how to daven by heart? What did you do? You listened quietly while the chazan said every word, and at the end of every bracha you say what? Amen. Right on, I agree. The credit comes to your account as if you had said the whole bracha. Amen. I am secure that whatever he said is correct. I affirm. I believe. Amen. And he comes to this bracha over here, the Gemara says, and he stopped dead in his tracks. He did not say his bracha properly. He taught it to the whole known world of Jews at that point, but he himself got up to say to daven mincha one day, or shachris, or ma'ariv, or whatever it is, and he gets caught. They waited a long time. The whole audience was awe-stricken, and they didn't say a word. Says the Gemara, v'ha'omar rav, Yehuda, Omar Rav, didn't Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav teach that if you make a mistake in any bracha and you're a chazan, so you let it go. It can happen. You mix up a bracha, you put one in front of the other, or you leave out a couple of words. It can happen. The only bracha that if you make a mistake in, you take the chazan and you get him out. You throw him out on the spot. Is which bracha? This bracha. Here stands the author of the bracha, and a year or so down the pike, he doesn't remember his words. Read into it, everyone. What happened? He's changed his loyalties. He's sorry that he wrote it. Better be a Jew for Jesus, and we shouldn't fight, maybe. Let there not be machlokas. You have your way, lady, and I have my way. We'll both get there. You be a Jew for Jesus, and I'll be a Jew for Torah, Shabbat, Pei, and Sanhedrin. But we'll get there, we're both Jews. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, we were taught that if you make a mistake in this bracha, you throw him out. Why didn't they throw him out right there and then on the spot? The answer Gemara, the Gemara answer is Shmuel HaKotan Shahane. You have to treat him a little differently. The Ihu Tikkana, because he's the author of the bracha. Now, he is the author of the bracha. the master of chesed, the one who by nature probably was more capable of writing a bracha than anyone else, the one who used, as you say, pretty rough language, but you gave us the final word. In every one of these words was an act of chesed. Tell me, will a doctor worry if he has to cut out some cancerous growths? He'll go softly and leave a little, he'll do you a little chesed, chas v'shalom. Or is he the biggest murderer if he does such a thing? That's why the supreme act of chesed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've got to heal us, and you've got to get rid of every last microscopic cell of this cancerous growth. Otherwise, it's going to do us in. Se'akel, you've got to uproot it, u'simager, and you've got to pulverize it. U'sishaber, break this reaction. Bimherov yamenu, it's got to be now, otherwise they're going to do us in. They're going to take us over. So Chaya, your assumption is the last word. There's no question about it. Given this Shmuel HaKotan is the author, and given this Gemara that they refuse to touch him until you know something gave. And interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't say what happened the next time he davened in. Does that? That's it. Finish.
So what happened this time? He just skipped it.
Left him alone.
He just skipped it and continued.
Just probably skipped it and continued, and everyone looked at one another.
Sure.
Could the halu? I couldn't. He just did not have words. Now, there's no question about it. At this point, you all have to talk. You've got to psychoanalyze the situation. Was he senile? He could have been an old man. What's the matter with him? Well, can't blame a senile person. Was he having second thoughts about the rough language? When the Gemara says Shmuel HaKotan Sha'aneh, he has to be treated differently. You have to look at every known source, every known bit of evidence that we have about this Shmuel HaKotan, and try to figure out and try to psychoanalyze what was going on here. What was? I don't know that we'll ever come up with a definitive answer. But it was funny. It was treacherous. Well, let me conclude with this. You all know that you'll pick up this sitter, it has one nusach. Irving, you told us that your sitter, that you davenin, has one word differently. There are all kinds of little different nuschos, versions. Ashkenaz and Sfard and Lubavitch and Hasidic and non-Hasidic and the true Sfardim Tehorim, the pure-blooded Sfardim from Syria and from wherever. Okay, but basically we're all the same. We have no way of knowing that this is the original bracha. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you clearly, these are not the words of Shmuel HaKotan, because there are a half a dozen other nuschos of this bracha. And you can well imagine, you live in an oppressive society, and someone picks it up, or someone is a mishuma, the Jew who goes to the other side, and feeds them this information. Hey guys, come here, dear bishop, I want to show you what these Jews are saying. That's why I checked out. Poor man. Okay? These are not the original words. I can bring down for you a half a dozen sidurim, and it'll show you a half a dozen other words. This is how I am capable of accounting for the first word, Vila Malshinim, and also Malshinim, the slanderers. When you have a the, when you have a conjunction and, you know, something comes before and then something comes after. There was another word that came before Vila Malshinim. You know what the word was? Vila Minim. La Minim. The Minim, the Jews for Jesus. Vila Malshinim and any slanderer against us. Certain Sidurim do have the Minim here. Some Sidurim had the text La Notzrim. Vila Malshinim. You know who the Notzrim are? Christians.
What did the Vilna Gaon say?
Don't know.